Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As we ponder God's word this morning, we turn to the words of our second reading from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Let us pray. Lord, sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it was 105 years ago when after the aftermath of World War I, there was established what is called the League of Nations, and that League of Nations had one goal. Their goal was to maintain world peace. You know that in World War I, there were about 20 million people who had died. So you can understand why world leaders would have wanted to maintain world peace. Well, then we know what happened within the next 20 years after the League of Nations was established. Then came World War II. And not 20 million died in that war. No, it was more like at least 70 million perished. The League of Nations went away, and the United Nations came in 1946. And now, finally, within the last 80 years, we have obtained world peace. Or not. You've seen the news. In that country where our Lord and Savior was born, where he walked upon the face of the earth, where he suffered and died for your sins, where he rose again. Rockets have been launched and rockets have rained down. You see, in this world, there are many who still are searching longingly for this thing that is so elusive, this thing called peace. People look for it in their work or in their entertainment, in their different lifestyles, trying to find that peace. But the Holy Trinity comes to us today and says to us that there is one place and one place alone where you can find true and lasting peace. And that peace is found in none other than that God who has given us his holy gospel. And that gospel points us to the one who has given us that peace, our Lord Jesus Christ. And because of the Lord Jesus, we are going to also learn today that God fills us with an undaunted hope, even in the midst of our troubles and trials. 2,000 years ago, Paul understood too that there were difficulties with government, that earthly peace was so elusive. But the Christians back then know what the Christians know today too, that difficulties and wars aren't just out there somewhere in our news cycles. The war really begins right here in our own hearts. The rebellious hearts of our own sinful nature that often stand opposed to God and his holy will. By nature, the book of Romans tells us, we are hostile to God. Isaiah tells us that there is no peace for the wicked. And that is what I am by nature. Wicked, unclean. I don't deserve anything from this holy, righteous God. All I deserve from him is his punishment, the punishment of eternal death in hell. And because many people understand God that way, instead of running to him, they run away from him, like Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. They fear him because they know he is holy and righteous and just, and that they justly deserve his punishment. But God comes to us and declares peace. Where do we find such peace? When you look at these words from the book of Romans and how Paul starts out the very first part of this chapter, he says that by faith we have been justified. Justified means that God has made a declaration to all of us. And that declaration is this, that instead of declaring us guilty and deserving of his eternal wrath, he declares you innocent. Innocent for the sake of his own son, Jesus Christ. And that declaration means everything to us. That's the source of our peace. It's peace to us because it meant war for Jesus. Jesus faced the war in the battle. Jesus went to the cross for you. Jesus suffered and died, the wrath of God in your place. Jesus bled and died, his holy precious blood for you, to pay for not just part of your sins or most of your sins, but all of your sins. And now instead of fearing God and running away from him, we face him face to face. And we have a relationship with him where we call on him and say, "Our Father, you are his dearly loved child because of the relationship he has established with you through his son, Jesus Christ." You are at peace with God because of all that Jesus, your Savior, has done for you. And now Paul says, this peace of God is like standing in a room. You are standing in a room. You see sometimes when the rockets and the bombs are coming in on a country, you see those people scattering and scurrying for a bomb shelter. You have a far greater shelter than that. Paul says, you have access into the room that is called grace. God's undeserved kindness for you. Through all the attacks, through all the troubling times of life, here you stand by faith in the grace of God. That's your comfort. Through all the attacks of the devil, of our conscience, recognizing that we are truly guilty, there is that grace of God that covers us and that shelters us time and time again. You have access to that room. You stand in that room. You know that when you go to your computer and you want to look at your email or look at a website, at times you need a password to get access. If you don't know the password, you can't get in. And God speaks that way about this throne room of grace that you will now stand in. You know the password. There's only one way in. And that one way is the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way in. That is why we live in that grace of knowing what he has done for us. He is the perfect mediator. He paid the perfect ransom price. And by faith, this grace is all yours. You are at peace because the Heavenly Father gave his son for you. And you know what that means for us? We have yet another great gift from our God. Not only do we have peace, but we have this hope that Paul talks about. It's not like the human hope that we often have. Some are here because of family reunions, and sometimes you may hope when you have an outdoor gathering, you hope it doesn't rain, but it might rain. Those things do happen. There was one widow lady who attended her husband's funeral, a husband who had little to nothing to do with Jesus during his life. And she said at the funeral, "I hope my husband is where I know he probably isn't. I hope my husband is where I know he probably isn't." There's a vague hope that many people have, an uncertain hope. But your hope is certain and sure. Because that hope is based upon God's promises. And when God makes a promise, he always keeps it. When God makes a promise, it's as good as done. And what is our hope based upon? Paul tells us our hope is based upon the glory of God. A glory that one day you will see, you will grasp, you will share in. God shares by his grace this glory. And that glory means everything to us. That glory of a heavenly home, that glory of a body that will never be sick, that will never die. A place in heaven where there will be no more cemeteries or hospitals. A place that will truly be glorious with all the fellow believers there. Many of our loved ones who are already there, we long to be there one day. And most longingly, we look forward to being there with our triune God, who not only made that glorious home with glorious bodies possible, but he's made it sure and certain through the hope he has planted in our hearts. But Paul says there's one more thing that makes us want to boast, that makes us want to glory in him. When we have something to boast about, we can't keep quiet about it. We just want to let others know too. What does he say? We are to boast in our sufferings. How strange that sounds to us. Why are we to boast in our sufferings? Sufferings are those things that press down upon us, that make life so miserable at times and troublesome for us. We can think of illnesses and loss of loved ones and difficulties and strife in our relationships with one another, sometimes with those closest to us, or strife and difficulty at work. All of these things can be a temptation for us to lose our grip on what the Holy Trinity has so graciously given to us. But Paul invites us to boast in our sufferings. How can we do that? It's because our gracious triune God gives us a trifecta of blessings. Those blessings are perseverance, character, and hope. Those are the beautiful blessings that our triune God pours out upon us. You see, when we suffer, we don't run away from God, but rather in faith we run towards him and we lean upon him even more in our sufferings, knowing that he will be there for us, trusting in his promises that never fail us. That's what we call perseverance. Another way of describing the perseverance is this patient endurance. Patiently enduring as a child of God, whatever God sends our way, knowing he will take care of us. I don't know if you've ever gone down into a basement to find something, and then all of a sudden the lights go out. There's no light, complete darkness, no windows, except for maybe the little glimmer of light at the top of the stairs where you can see a little daylight underneath the door. And so you make your way step by step up those steps to the top, all guided by that light. You go through dark days, days of disappointment and discouragement. But always there for you is that light, that beautiful light of the gospel, the beautiful light of Jesus, who comes to comfort you, to shelter you, to encourage you to keep stepping in his grace, to stand there in that sure and certain love of his. And that perseverance also produces character, he says. Once you've gone through many trials in life, he continues to develop this faith where you continue to rely on him more and more, going back to his word, going back to his sacraments again and again to find your help and strength. It's like a soldier who has gone off to war. He's faced battles. He goes back home. And then he goes out again for another tour of duty. But this time, he's been through the trials. He's been through the battles. And he knows what to face. You as Christians, you are in the church militant. You will face battles too, and maybe you have faced many of them already, but you do not face them alone. You face them with the strength and with the armor of the triune God who loves you dearly. He sends his Holy Spirit, Paul tells us, to pour into your heart that love of God, to comfort you, to shelter you, and strengthen you again and again. That love of God is being poured into your heart. God's promises to you are not just an outward comfort to you, but God comes so close to us. The Holy Spirit enters our hearts to encourage us to keep going, even when it becomes difficult in life, to look forward to Him helping us and encouraging us through every battle in life. Dear friends, we may look at our world today and we may see all kinds of trouble and trial. We see bombs and rockets. We see unbelievers continuing to seek in the darkness of this world their hope and never finding that hope. But you and I have a sure peace, a sure hope that does not rest on us or earthly governments, but rests on your Savior, Jesus Christ, who never fails you, who has fulfilled your salvation fully and completely, who has taken away all your guilt and has forgiven all your sins. Trust in his peace. As you read his word, know that that peace is sure and certain. As you come before his altar to receive his body and blood, know that that peace is yours through your Lord Jesus Christ. Know that the hope you have as you look forward to eternal life is yours. And that one day there will be no more pain or sorrow or death when we will be with the Lord Jesus Christ forever. God grant us such peace now and always by his grace in which you stand. Amen.